Good evening. Welcome to this episode of the Under the Helmet podcast. As we continue to expand our reach and our coverage area, it's brought my attention that we need to cover the Mid-Atlantic region because there's football talent all over it, especially at the semi-pro level. With me, we have Coach Tay, Dominique, and Marie, the head coach, quarterback, owner of the Triad Outsiders. Good evening. How is everybody doing?
Good evening. We're doing well. Hope you are.
Yes,
Yo, how
sir.
you
Yes,
doing?
ma'am. Now, Marie, to you, as an owner, is it rare in Carolina to have a female owner, or is it something that has become more commonplace?
I think when I first started, I knew of only one other female owner. And then now it seems I've been owning the team for 6 years now. It seems like this year we're embarking in a new season, which is the 2021 CFA Fall League. And there seems to be a numerous amount of, which is great. I love it. Women are taking over, and football. My coach Tay is looking at me like I'm crazy. But I think, in a predominantly male sport, you're seeing, more women coaches, you're seeing more women referees. And now, we got the owners in place. So I think it's becoming more frequent.
Coach Tay, when you moved to a fall league, what was the biggest adjustment that you think you've had to make?
Well, we've always been a fall football team. I was blessed to coach in a spring league, but coming from that spring team and learning different defensive schemes and taking it over to our team in the fall and catering that defense to my team, it was very easy. Having a great coach that ran the 4-2-5. Teaching me that it was a very good help for me in the type of athletes that I have had. So it was a very easy transition for me as a defensive coordinator, bringing it over to my team, the Triad Outsiders.
Now, follow up, Coach Tay, with running a 4-2-5, do you feel as though you give up a little bit of power as far as not having that third linebacker, or do you feel comfortable with that extra defensive back being able to step into that void of being another linebacker by proxy for you?
Yeah, well, the guys, the type of athletes that we have are very elite. So most of those guys are very talented and play college ball, and they're hybrid like safety linebackers. So, with the style of the NFL, strong safeties are almost just like linebackers, vice versa. But no, I just think that I have the talent that helps out in that scheme, having that extra hybrid player that can play both positions.
Now, Dominique, making the journey from Danville, Virginia to North Carolina, what was the culture change for you?
It wasn't too much of a culture change for me because I did play college ball in North Carolina. But I mean, it was when I first got there, they accepted me as family, so it was more of a family atmosphere. It didn't really matter that I was from Virginia or they was from North Carolina or vice versa. So it was a smooth transition going in.
Now, Marie, when you look at the balance and look coming into the CFA fall, what are your expectations for the Outsiders going into the season?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that question?
When you look at the CFA and what are your expectations as the season progresses?
My expectations, is that what you're saying?
Yes, ma'am.
So my expectations are the same every year. We try to win each week one at a time. I am a very business-minded person, and so on the business side of the house, the front office, as some of us call it, that has to be in order. It has to be organized. I have to make sure that, you know, my house is okay and running appropriately before we take the field. And so that is the same expectation that I have going into the season two for these new teams. We have a few new teams as well, and it looks like we have a bunch of professional teams. So what I expect is what I feel like I'm going to get. You know, you kind of you give what you get. I think the players have bought into that. Each year we don't really, you know, we have tryouts and the veterans return every single year. I think keeping it organized, keeping it running like a, you know, a machine is what I always expect. And I think the players to the coaches, to the staff, they know my expectations from day one. I think if, you know, you make it clear cut from day one, they know kind of, you know, everything that you're going to expect from the beginning.
Now, Coach Tate, when you came up in coaching, who was your mentor? Who did you look towards to for guidance as far as your path to the sidelines?
I can give several names. One, my father, name would be Robert Dunlap. Third would be coach that coached me in college at Livingstone College, Ben Coates, future Hall of Famer.
From the Patriots.
Yeah, from the Patriots. My family. I can name a lot of different people that helped me as far as influenced me as far as football, the path that I took as far as coaching and playing. That's about it.
Now, Dominique, you, like I said, you played football at Winston-Salem State. Playing for a traditional HBCU power with that amount of history behind it, what was that feeling stepping on and off that field?
It was fun because I was kind of part of the building process of what happened down there at WSSU, from us going from D1 to dropping back to D2 and regaining some stature. It was fun. It was a learning experience, and it made me more of the person I am today.
Now, follow up question: who is the most beloved alum from WSSU? You got Big House Gaines or Stephen A. Smith?
Probably Big House. Probably Big House. I heard more about Big House than I heard about Stephen A. Smith when I was there in college.
Makes sense. Now, Marie, when you look at, you know, you discuss the front office aspect, do you think that more teams should take that approach as far as being business-minded? Because it seems as though a lot of teams don't really take care of business the way they should.
Absolutely. So my background outside of semi-pro is a business finance side. And I think, you know, it's important that, like Coach Tay, coaches, and I handle the business side. You have to keep it separate. Separate meaning there's no emotional tie. I think, you know, you love your players like they're family, but you still have to run a business. I think if you're able to keep it separated and you know expectations and you know what you have to work with, from the city parks and recs to the officials that have to come to even, you know, youth football teams that want to come and, you know, attend the games or even work the games. And I have a health department background. So with COVID the last year and a half, it looks like it's kind of going to be in the forefront for a while. I have to take care of that, make sure, you know, taking temps, hand sanitizer. I mean, it's just so many different aspects than just money when it comes to the front office. But yes, absolutely. If you can be organized and professional, those are two things that will get you far.
Coach Tay, when you look at the various levels of coaching at this level, do you think there should be more of an emphasis placed on coaches learning, or do you think that some coaches are too stubborn and they know what they know?
To answer that question, for me and just my opinion and me learning football, you never learn everything every day, and you can never not know enough information as being a coach. Things change offenses change, defenses change, players change, coaches change. So it's always great to be able to learn more. For the coaches that think they know it all, that's almost impossible. We all as coaches make mistakes. We run things wrong. Sometimes we teach wrong, but it's for us to learn and correct those mistakes as being coaches. So it's never enough information as for sports, and we're always learning. So that's why they have all these big coaching clinics and all the professional coaches and college coaches always go to, because there's never enough information to be a coach.
Now, Dominic, in advance of your game on Saturday, you have pretty big matchup. What do you expect to see, and what's your mental preparation like before games?
I'm a one game at a time type of person. Like, I honestly, at the beginning of the year, I might post the schedule, but after that, I never really look at the schedule until they tell me who we're going to play each week. Now, some games like this one, you circle on your calendar. Like, this is it's a playoff-type game in week two. So my mental preparation will be just as such. I'm preparing that it's going to be a playoff game in November, but we're in August.
Now, Murray, building off of Dominic's point, he mentioned how it's a one-game-at-a-time type of team, and you kind of focus one game at a time. Playing a game of this magnitude, do you still get butterflies, or have you owned a team long enough where you're like, it's a game and you don't, you know, you tend to have that emotional detachment from it?
If you would have asked me last year, I would have probably said, you get butterflies every game, right? And no team is bigger than the next team. They're all teams that you want to defeat each week. This game is probably a little bit more, you know, they love to, you know, term it rivalry week. We know a lot of the players on the other team. We know the coaches very well on the other team. So it's something that brings the crowd out. I just recently lost my dad unexpectedly a few weeks ago. And so right now, no emotions, really. It's just another game right now. Now, had you asked me maybe 2 months ago, I'd be like, yeah, oh, my gosh, of course, nerves every single game, because you just never know, right, what's going to happen between those lines.
With a follow-up to you, Marie, when processing a loss, how much does football give you a needed distraction?
Oh, my gosh, what a great question. It's amazing how when my dad passed, we were still having practices and workouts, and I couldn't go to the first one. I came to the second week, and I was crying. We had our first game this past Saturday, and one of the players showed me a shirt that had me and my dad on it, and I called my dad Daddy-O, and so he said, love, Daddy-O, started crying. These guys, it's like everybody jokes, you know, you have 60 kids, Marie. They are absolutely family. They are a welcome distraction. There's not even really a distraction. They absolutely take my mind off the pain that I'm going through every day. It's nice to hear their voice. It's good to see football again. They are absolutely a welcome distraction. But, yes, absolutely, football kind of takes your mind away, right? It's uniform. It's four quarters. It's plays. It's bad calls. It's flags. And so, absolutely, for about 3 hours, I don't focus on the reality that is going on outside of football.
For me, it is – interesting to watch how stories unfold. It's interesting to see how this will unfold. When we come back from break, I want to talk about the road down and how the Outsiders are definitely going to make some noise in the CFA Fall League. That's after break. You're listening to the Under the Helmet Podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with Under the Helmet Podcast, Terrence Biggs, members of the Triad. Outsiders, Coach Tay, to you, when you know that the other team has a bunch of familiar players and you know their tendencies and you know what they're going to bring to the table, how do you fight the urge to throw away the playbook and just implement a bunch of new things they haven't seen before?
Well, that happens just about every week. Like tonight, I'll be going over film that we had from last year and looking over the roster with new guys that added that we know. Like Marie, a lot of these guys that have played for us on the team and were a part of the organization. And just knowing me as a coach, knowing their strengths and weaknesses, makes it easier to prepare for this game. Like I said, I have a wonderful coaching staff and guys that used to coach me that have stepped in to help me prepare for this game. And they know the tendencies also of these players, and they're going to give us the best results to win this game. So with me coaching, you know, you go in with a game plan, but if that doesn't work, you have to start all over. When the halftime comes, you got to reload, reiterate, change, and sometimes go outside the box of things that you're used to doing. So I'm well up for the test, and I wish those guys well when we play them, but they have a test. So I'm up for the challenge.
Now, Dominique, to you, in a different way, some quarterbacks have told me that it takes that first snap or that first hit for them to wake up and kind of feel what's going on. Are you that way, or do you step on the field, first snap, you're ready to go?
I feel like first snap, I'm ready to go. I've been like that for a long time. Every time I step on the field, it's business as usual. So it's time for me to play. It's time for me to do what we're supposed to do, what to execute the game plan, and try to win this football game.
Now, Marie, you know, being in High Point, it is college area. What is the community like as far as the outreach to and the embracing of outside of football?
Well, we started about 6 years ago, and nobody, you know, knew us. And I feel like they still don't know us because we don't have, you know, the big lights. We don't have the big sponsors. It's just me. But we try to get our name out there as much as we can, but not as tried outsiders, really, but just as the players, as the organization. You know, we do community events. We work with City of High Points, Park and Recs. For football clinics with the youth. At some point, you know, Coach Tane wants to transition to youth football. And so there is a huge youth football presence in our community. High Point has one college, well, one university, High Point University, which is my, I'm an alum of that. We do not have a football team there yet. But obviously around there's HBCU, there's A&T, there's Winston-Salem State, and there's Wake Forest and all those. And I think they're aware of semi-pro teams, but, you know, sometimes semi-pro gets this bad connotation. And so we're trying to get out there and show them that, you know, semi-pro is not just semi-pro. It's adult amateur. It's minor league. We do more than just, you know, football. There's other things that we can help with. We do like a Dark Wind project, which was kind of outreach to the homeless population. We've done camps with arena players. We've done things with the home. I mean, it's just so many different things that there are so many different opportunities. But I think the biggest thing is we have to, you know, continue to what we do. We've been in parades. They know us in the parades. But those are the kind of the small things. It's not a big city, but, you know, it's big for us.
Now, Coach Tay, what is your pregame like? Your pregame, how do you visualize what's going on? Or do you sit and think, or do you just kind of just get up, shower, eat, and just go to the field?
Oh, man, my pregame ritual is crazy. So usually I talk to the players the day before Friday night, usually going over my depth chart, touching out to guys as far as, like, the logistics of the games. I really don't get any rest. I usually go to bed about 2 a.m., 3 a.m. at night because of the anxiety of the game, not the anxiety of winning or losing, but just making sure all my guys get to the game and make sure Marie, as the owner, she has her portion right, which she does all the time. I don't know. just being prepared. I'm really OCD about things. And then the next day, Dominique can attest to this. I heard this question before. Anxiety. I'm usually on him a lot, and he has to calm me down. He looks at me from the field, puts his hands down. He kind of pumps his hand down to the ground, be like, Coach Day, calm down. I got this. So, yeah, I have a lot of anxiety as far as my players and not the nature of the game, but just personal anxiety for my family and my organization.
Wow.
But it's a crazy routine.
Now, Dominique, you are the calm type and seem like the offensive leader on the field. How do you calm your teammates down when the game is tense and the game is close and you can kind of look in their eyes and tell that, ooh, you got to settle down a little bit?
I'm honestly probably one of the quietest people on the team. I really don't even talk that loud, honestly, and I play quarterback. I'll tell people, just like Coach Tay just said, I'll be like, whoa, I got it. Don't worry about it. I got it. We'll get right. Calm down. It's fine. And everybody relax, and we'll just let go. Just like on Saturday, Coach Tay wanted to kick a field goal on fourth down. It was kind of a risky call, but I just politely went to the sideline, said, hold on, I got it. Call the play. We got the first.
Now, we usually end on entertaining questions, fun questions, but I'm going to kind of – now, Marie, if you had a choice, you're hungry after a game or before a game, Blue Rock Pizza or Sammy G's, where are you eating?
What were the two choices again?
Blue Rock Pizza or Sammy G's Tavern?
Oh, we're doing a Sammy G's. They have great calamari there. And the big thing with that is Coach Tay actually knows the owner there. He actually has another branch restaurant in Clemens. Absolutely Sammy G's. But Blue Rock has this crawfish pizza that's really good too. But I'm going to Sammy G's first.
Now, Coach Tay, you got Giannos or Sweet Old Bill's. Which would you eat at first?
Giannos, because that's one of the owner's favorite places to eat.
Good answer.
So I would say Giannos. They have really good pizza there. Wings, too.
Now, Dominique, you got the Blue Water Grill or Steak Street. Which one would you eat?
Oh, I don't even know either one of those places.
Where's your favorite place to eat at?
McDonald's.
I'm probably a McDonald's or a cookout kind of person. That's me. I'm very simple. It don't take much to please me.
That's the one thing that we don't have up here is a good old cookout. That's one thing that would make it would make it right. It would definitely make it right up here. Now, last question, Marie. Can you give the people contact info as far as where the game is played and times and locations?
Yes, sir. So the Triad Outsiders will be traveling to Charlotte, North Carolina, the Queen City, home of the, was it the Hornets? The Hornets. We'll be playing at West Mecklenburg High School at 7 p.m. kickoff.
Now, I guess the last question is, I am a diehard Carolina fan. Football, basketball,
yes.
Baseball.
Oh, God.
Oh, man,
That's not great to hear.
Where do your alliances lead as far as sports? I'll start with Marie. Who do you root for in college?
Marie, I'm an NC State Wolfpack fan.
That's not bad. I'm okay with that. Coach?
Man, it's a house divider. I'm a Tar Heel fan.
There you go. Right on. That's good. That's a good call. Dominique, who do you root for?
Hey, I'm a Miami fan.
Oh, gosh.
This is what we're doing now, huh? Okay. At least you didn't say Duke. You know what? If you would have said Duke. At least you didn't say Duke. Duke is, yeah, that's fine.
That's right, exactly.
Now, I'll say Duke basketball.
No.
I'm a Duke basketball fan.
No, that is never the answer. But seriously.
I don't understand. I don't understand, like, for the guys that I coach and some of the coaches, how do you become a Miami fan and a Duke basketball fan? That just doesn't sound right.
Hey, I got personal issues with some of the Virginia schools, so I've never been a UVA or Virginia State fan, so they got scratched off.
It's been Carolina forever in every sport since this, you know, since Jordan was a freshman. Since Lawrence Taylor was like a senior, it's been Carolina the whole way through. At least it's not Duke. I have no love for that school in Durham. But Marie, Coach Tay, Dominic, I want to thank you all for joining me on this episode of the Unknown Podcast, and we wish you luck this weekend when you make the trip to Charlotte. Best of luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
This has been an episode of the Unknown Podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.